You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for Stans by Stans. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Augie.
Hey y'all, we're back with another ranked episode, but this time we're talking about movie soundtracks. These are our fave top three-ish of all time, I guess. And yeah, so let's get into it. And while you're listening to the show, use the hashtag FOAFpod so we can, read your thoughts. So yeah, let's go.
Read your mind.
Okay, so I have three, right? But like I always say, it's not really in order.
Mm-hmm.
After number
one.
We
don't do rankings here.
So like after number one, it's not in order. But right now, this is my all-time favorite soundtrack, I think, of all time. And it's going to go to the lovely movie Waiting to Exhale. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have never seen that movie before.
But go look it up somewhere.
Yes, it stars Loretta Devine, Whitney Houston, Angela Bassett, and I forgot the other lady's name. But anyway, it stars those four amazing women, and the soundtrack, for the people who have seen the movie and
you're gonna
have heard the soundtrack.
But I've never seen the movie.
What? Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh my
god! In my friend group, me and one other girl have never seen it. And
y'all might be the only two black women ever.
We have been meaning to set a watch date or whatever to screen
it.
Oh
my goodness.
And have not. But that is I absolutely would not blame you if you revoked my black card.
Wow. Wow. You know, and there's a lot of movies I haven't seen that I feel like would get my black card revoked, but come on now, Gigi, that is one you have to see.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm just gonna...
Yes, yeah, so, you have to watch
it. I'm gonna leave and watch it right now, actually.
And
bye.
It's such... Please stay. But no, it's not the best movie in the world, of course, but because you have so many stars in the movie, it's great because of that. And for women, I think, especially black women, it's a great movie because it just talks about dating and stuff like that. And it was made in the 90s, and all the stuff that hasn't changed in the movie to, 2017 is just crazy. But anyway, back to the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
You have Toni Braxton. You have SWV. You have Whitney Houston and B.B. Winans singing together on a song. You have Chaka Khan, you have Aretha Franklin, and so on and so forth. You have all of these icons, legends, vocal icons, vocal legends on one R&B, as R&B gets, and it's, it's a bunch of heartbreak songs and just love songs, some songs about sexy time. So it's so many emotions, and you also have Brandy on there. It's just an amazing soundtrack. And Waiting to Exhale, man. I mean, if you've never seen the movie, which is, oh wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow. You should at least go listen to the soundtrack because it is so good.
I mean, the thing is, there's no excuse for why I haven't seen it, but mm-hmm. I have only heard amazing things from everyone who has seen it. And it's just been me being terrible, but
I literally have it in my closet now.
This
on DVD.
Soundtrack though sounds like just peak 90s everything. Anything
definitely.
You would want from the 90s, particularly with R&B. It just sounds like the most perfectly curated playlist of 90s.
Yes,
R&B.
I mean, you watch the movie and you find yourself singing along to every song, especially because you know this. I doubt the people, who watched it when it first came out did this, but me now knowing all of these songs and stuff like that, I go back and I watch the movie and I find myself singing along every time each song comes on. You find yourself jamming throughout the movie. So, and sometimes music in a movie is just supposed to be background noise, but it really the way they incorporated the music into the movie, I feel like they wanted you to, like, sing along. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I just love Waiting to Exhale in the soundtrack. So, yeah, so that's wait, my number one. So, wait,
then this soundtrack, it was, like, songs that we already, like, at that time, do you know? Like, were these songs already released, or were they particularly recorded for the soundtrack?
I don't know if all of them, like, I know, so the Brandy song on there is Sitting Up in My Room. Mm-hmm. So, I don't really know the years, but that was a single. It's like all of these songs that are on there, I think they were all singles. Mm-hmm. So they might, some of them might have been, you know, recorded for the movie and some might have not. Like Chaka Khan's song, I think, is My Funny Valentine, and I'm sure that came out before the movie came out. So yeah, I think it just, it's a mixture. But yeah, so good. Cool. So good. You have to watch it.
I will. I absolutely will. Like, no, I am not proud of the fact that I have not seen it. Like, that is not something that I'm proud of at all. But, okay, so my first pick is, like, on the complete opposite spectrum of, you know, whatever you can imagine. The only thing it has in common with this, with Waiting to Exhale, is I think they both came out in the 90s. Okay. But my first pick is the Parent Trap soundtrack, the one with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
So you're going to laugh at all my picks, so I'm just going to get used to it. But anyway, so this movie, like, I just vividly remember me and my mom, we were at a garage sale. And in, like, the early 2000s, I guess, and, like, the VHS of The Parent Trap was in one of these boxes at this garage sale and, like, picked it up because it just looked like a fun kid movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, was really young at the time, but, like, literally watched that movie on repeat. Like, I can still pretty much quote that entire movie as I'm watching it. And so I think the reason why this soundtrack stands out in particular, it's like twofold, partly because it just means so much to me because it was a huge part of my childhood, but then also because the soundtrack really, really is good. Like, it starts with Nat King Cole's Love, and it ends with Natalie Cole's This Will Be an Everlasting Love. So first of all, you have these amazing bookends of, like, Nat King Cole and Natalie Cole, rest in peace. So, like, those are two very classic songs that just... They truly, I mean, they're love songs, but, like, they actually sound like what you want love to feel like, if that makes any sense. But when it comes to music that, you know, portrays those feelings, like, that to me is what it sounds like. And just, like, throughout the movie, like, it was a lot of, like, what you said with just the unique way in which they incorporated the music. It was, like, it wasn't just something that was in the background. Like, it felt like it was another character within it. Like, it helped move the story. And, like, it was, like, really believable to me, especially, like, in actually thinking about the soundtrack now for this episode. Like, I could really, you know, the characters in the movie, Lindsay Lohan, the two twins that she plays, like, they were 11 years old in the movie, but, like, they were definitely both really wise, kind of beyond their years. And so I could very well, like, imagine them listening to, like, a lot of these songs that were on this soundtrack, even though they were, like, they weren't kiddie songs. You know, it was, like, the Beatles. It was, like I said, Nat King Cole and Natalie Cole. You had, like, Bad to the Bone. All of these, like, random songs. There was this jazz song, like, for anyone who's seen the movie, like, there's this jazz song that plays, like, while the twins and, like, the butler do this, like, secret handshake, and it's called, like, the Soulful Strut or whatever, and it's just, like, an iconic scene, I think, from that movie. And so, I don't know, like, I just feel like it's one of my favorite soundtracks, again, because it does have a special place in my heart, but, like, they use a lot of iconic songs, and most of them all came out before this movie, like, ever existed, which I find interesting because I don't really know how they actually secured the rights to a lot of these, but it was a Disney film technically, so I'm sure, like, Disney handled that. But I really respected that even though it was, like, a film that was really targeted to kids, that, like, most of the music choices were really mature, and they kind of, like, conveyed those really mature feelings that, like, all the adults were dealing with. And so that's definitely a film also that, like, I look back on and watch differently as an adult than I did as a kid. And I just think it's beyond perfect. So, yeah. But never get in a room with me, like, to watch that film, because I will pretty much just, like, say all the words, like, as it's going.
That's the same with Waiting to Exhale with me. But I love The Parent Trap, though.
Yeah.
And when you said Nat King Cole, Love, I can remember that song playing in the movie. Like, I don't remember the exact scene or whatever, but I can remember, like hearing that song while watching the movie. And so yeah, definitely.
And I think that's so important. Like when you're talking about movie soundtracks, it's just like, you know, when I hear that song, like, do I think, am I able to think back to that scene, you know, when it was playing and stuff, or like, does it remind me of that particular movie? And I think it's so important, especially with the two films that we just talked about, like they, the songs they picked for the soundtrack were like songs that were curated for this film. You know, that's a lot different than like a movie soundtrack where it's all original songs. Cause of course you're going to think of that movie, you know, but like with, you know, with movies where it's like songs that, you know, are off some random album or like came out 30 years before, like whatever it is, like there are so many memories you can have associated to that song. But I think a successful movie soundtrack, if it can make you think back to that scene, is just, you know, they really like hit the nail on the head. So I think both of those movies, it sounds like, well, I don't really know with Waiting to Exhale, but it sounds like from what you've described that like it did that successfully too. So shout out to both of those films for that.
Yes, so my second one is an animated movie, and it is my favorite Disney movie, Lion King. So
classic. Some would say classic.
Listen, it is a classic. Lion King is just a phenomenal movie, right? First of all, you know, first and foremost. But the music, yo, like, you open up with Circle of Life, like, from the day we arrived on the planet. I mean, come on. Like, you start, so like, that is just, everybody does, I'm not going to do the sound in the beginning. But,
Don't do it.
everyone does it. Like, everyone can recognize it. All of these, you know, decades later, like, it's just, oh my God, I love Lion King. I love, you know, I just can't wait to be king.
And I just can't wait to be king. Didn't young Simba also play like a young Michael Jackson in that Jackson 5 movie?
Yes, that's the same Jason Weaver.
Oh my God, I wonder where he ended up.
That's the same person. Yep.
That's amazing.
You know, because you know they're doing the live action Lion King or whatever. And they're like, they should have him do Simba. And I was like, well, I don't know what his voice sounds like now. Right. But,
unless they meant grown Simba, but isn't Childish Gambino playing grown Simba? Or am I making
that
up?
So it was a. It was a little while ago, before Donald Glover got casted. But yeah, I mean, this just the music in. Lion King is amazing, and I mean, you know, like Elton John had to do with a lot of it.
Oh yeah.
And so I mean, you know, like whatever he touches is gold. So I mean, it's just so great. I think my favorite song might be I mean, you have like Can You Feel the Love Tonight.
Oh my God, this is so cheesy, but that played on one season of like The Bachelorette or something. And like it just, it's like no matter what context this song is playing in, like it still gives you all the feels, and like I just remember being like, why am I crying in the club right now? This is The Bachelorette, like, but it's like that song. I mean,
you get Simba and Nala in their like teenage days, rolling around, being in love and shit, and it's like, yes, lions,
I want that lion love.
Show us a love story. You know,
okay, I don't condone bestiality, please don't take that the wrong way.
But yeah, like, it's just so good. And, yeah, I mean, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Just can't wait to be king. But I think Hakuna Matata is my favorite song. It's just so fun and playful. And, Timon and Pumbaa were like iconic characters, I think. But yeah, Hakuna Matata is my fave. I can sing the whole song from beginning to end. Honestly, I can sing all the songs from beginning to end, but Hakuna Matata is the one. Like, I'll get up and dance.
Hakuna Matata is great. That was actually my senior year like class motto, which is really cheesy in retrospect.
Very cheesy, but we love it.
But I really, really love I Just Can't Wait to Be King. Like, I think that might take it for me. And also, can we just, going back to like Can You Feel the Love Tonight, like, I can you imagine like how many people have like either walked down the aisle to that, or you know, danced,
thousands,
did the first dance or like something. Like, it's just, it's insane how like that particular soundtrack still kind of resonates, and I do feel like not as many people know how deeply it kind of like affected so many generations.
It's so good, and that's why I'm so happy like they're doing the, you know, live action remake or whatever, and I'm excited to see if they're gonna like have it like, what was the little one that came out a couple years ago? Oh, the Jungle Book, where they did sing and stuff like that. So, like, I feel like it's not Lion King without the music, so...
Well, Jungle Book, didn't they do,
The Bare Necessities?
Yeah, Bare Necessities, which was, like, one of my favorite songs off that soundtrack. Yeah. Did they do it, like, a little bit, I think?
No, they did the whole... I think they did the whole song.
Okay.
They did the whole song, I think, or, like, most of it, I guess. But, yeah, because I remember so that great. Scene. Perfect I remember casting, I went to a movie actually. Looking for that scene. Like, I was hoping that they mm-hmm. put that in there. But, yeah, I'm really excited for the remake simply because... Like, all of these years later.
So, it's confirmed that Beyonce's Nala for the remake?
I don't know if it's confirmed. I mean, I know that the director wanted her, mm-hmm. but I don't know if it's confirmed. I hope she does it. That'd be so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, like, I mean, I think, like, she has done, like, other voice acting things before. And I think especially now that she's a mom, like, she loves, you know, doing stuff like that. I remember her doing interviews after... What was the last role she did?
Epic, I think.
Oh, yeah. And, like, she... I think that was, like, after Blue Ivy was born. And she just talked about how, like, it was cool for her to, like, hear her voice or whatever.
Right.
And not
so,
understand
like,
what was
the
going
twins
on.
Would get to say their mom was Nala.
Oh, my God.
Like, come on.
Come on.
That's...
And I'm sure like, they would much... Like, they think that's cooler than her just being Beyonce. Like...
Right. Like, my mom was Nala. Yeah. Like... What is your mom?
Yeah.
You know? A lawyer? What? Who cares? Like, you know?
Boring.
But yeah, so Lion King, such a great soundtrack. If you haven't, I'm not even going to say that because you should have heard the soundtrack. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but go rewatch Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No,
a lot of people
like,
haven't
binge
seen
watch
it.
All of these movies that we're about to, like, tell you guys about and pay attention to the soundtracks because you will fall in love.
Yes.
But yeah, okay, so my next one, again, super white, and I'm sorry about, like, putting this out here.
Listen, we balance each other out.
We do, okay. But it's, again, okay, another movie. Like, for me, it's just, like, the movie soundtrack in particular, like, the ones I gravitate to that I can say is my favorite are, like, the ones that I grew up listening to.
Yeah.
And so, for me, another one is The Sound of Music, which I have no shame in saying that that's, like, my favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's so great, and I absolutely don't fault you for that because it's such a, like...
But you know what, though? That's a classic. I feel like everybody should have seen it.
I mean,
you know?
I guess. Like, it's a classic film. Like, I would say that. But it was, like, made in 1965, so it's, like, one of those things where it's like a true classic film and that like you know, it's kind of grainy but like I'm sure you
old
can find
shit.
Some high you know quality versions or whatever at this point but I mean same thing like you know had the VHS growing up and like watched it a million times and you know there's a song like in one of the opening songs or one of the first few songs that they sing and I mean Julie Andrews is like a freaking icon like I'm sorry if you don't like accept anything else about this film just know and believe and just say this every night before you go to bed Julie Andrews is an icon and like
definitely
I will take that with me forever So she's, you know, she's singing throughout this whole movie. She has this song towards the beginning called I Have Confidence, and she's just kind of, like, leaving the nun house, which, fun fact, I lived in a convent once or twice, and I'll go into that another day, so that may be another
little
reason why. I love this movie. But, you know, she has a song called I Have Confidence, and, it, like, it's one of my go-to songs for when I need to be cheered up. Like, and this is definitely an example of a movie, another example of a movie where it's, like, all original songs for the soundtrack and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And another song on there is called 16 Going on 17, and it's where one of, like, the older... girls in the movie she's like her and then the guy that she falls in love with who is like apparently a Nazi or whatever they're like singing this duet and you know she's singing like I am 16 going on 17 and like I just remember
wait I know that song
yeah I mean that song you definitely know like it's played in commercials and things like that and I just remember like I couldn't wait to turn 16 so I could sing that song with, like, some truth. Because, like, I'd been watching that movie since I was, like, a little girl, and 16 always seemed so far away. And then when I finally turned 16, like, that was, like, one of the most exciting parts that, like, for at least a year I could sing the song and, like, you know, it would be, like, a true fact or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a great, fun film, and it's, like, something that it is, like, definitely a timeless classic. And so... That soundtrack. And then, of course, like, everyone knows the Do Re Mi song.
So yeah, I was about to ask you. Yeah. Okay, so is that the Do, a deer,
yeah, a female deer. So you definitely know that one. And then you also definitely know, like, these are a few of my favorite things. Like, yes. You definitely have heard that song as well. Oh, my God.
I know so many of these songs.
Yeah, I mean, you already know a few of them, so why not just watch it and go listen to the deep cuts? But, yeah, it's a great song. I love Julie Andrews with all my heart. I mean,
from
Sound of Music all the way up to, like, Princess Diaries 1 and 2. Like, she's just a queen. And so, yeah, Sound of Music soundtrack, like, I think it's a great classic, like, movie soundtrack. I think musical soundtrack in particular. And I think, like, movie musicals can be very hit or miss, you know, like, when you bring something onto the screen that's typically, like, on, you know, Broadway or whatever. And I just think they hit it out of the park. And, like, the scenery in the film itself is really great. So, yeah, definitely recommend both the film and the soundtrack for sure.
Cool. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I knew that all of those songs were from that one movie.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go watch that. Mm-hmm. But so the last one we have in common.
Yes. Finally, we finally found some common ground. Like, I'm so happy that we made it to this point.
And I just want y'all to know that Whitney Houston brought us together once again. She is mentioned again in this episode.
Both Whitney Houston and Rodgers and Hammerstein, because they also were they composers, producers, whatever, of Sound of Music. So now they brought us back together with Cinderella, but the Brandy and Whitney Houston version specifically.
Yes.
And got a shout out Bernadette Peters. She doesn't get as much love. She played the evil stepmother. And she's like a Broadway queen, legend, everything. So, like,
because Falling in Love with Love is the GOAT.
She's so good.
Like, so good. Yeah, like, I love that. So, little known fact about myself, I used to do plays, right? Mm-hmm. So, this was one of the plays we did, and my grandmother, we were pretty much the only black people that did these plays. Mm-hmm. It was me, my grandmother, and sometimes if my cousin felt like it. And my grandmother always played, like, a really big role. So, like, when we did The Wiz, she was Eveline. Mm-hmm. When we did this Cinderella movie, she did the evil stepmother. And I remember falling in love with this soundtrack because she had to learn all of the music for, you know, that the stepmother sang or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Falling in Love with Love was a song that for some reason she couldn't get the lyrics good enough.
It's a tricky song.
And so I remember we had to listen to this song on repeat, like in her house, in the car, like whenever she got a chance to really listen to it so she could learn the lyrics. And so I think that is my favorite song. Well, I don't know if it's my favorite, but like I really love that song. When I think of this soundtrack, I think of that song first, because I had to listen to it on repeat for such a long time.
Wow.
When we did the production for the Cinderella or whatever. But yeah, like,
that's crazy fact that about you mentioned that, because I too, well, I wasn't in a play, but I was in the band, like, in school and stuff. And so in high school, like, they did the production of Cinderella and the Rodgers and Hammerstein version in particular. And so I was in the band that kind of, like, played the soundtrack, like, you know, for the people who were acting in it to, like, play. And so this was, like, I had grown up, like, for me, like, the movie was the first time I had been exposed to the soundtrack, so, like, it meant a lot to me. So I just thought it was, like, so cool that I was, like, getting sheet music with, like, Impossible and, you know, all these other songs that I had grown up listening to. So that's insane that we kind of have that in common, because being a part of that play was, like, one of my favorite memories for sure.
Yes, one day I'll talk about all of the plays that I've been
in. Yeah, so, I mean, we need to have an episode just on that, and I hope there's video so we can, like, watch it as well.
There's video. I have to go in the archive to find it, but there's video, and it's terrible. But, yeah, so,
Cinderella,
so,
like, first of all, so good. I think we've bonded over this before that neither of us have seen the cartoon Disney version.
Yeah, no, so I've never
which
seen.
Is totally fine. Like, you can keep the bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, like, I'm good. You know, my best friend growing up, when I was in first grade, I remember all my movies have VHS stories. Holy shit. But anyways, she gave me the VHS for my birthday, and, like, that was, like, you know, the moment for me. And honestly, you know, aside from the soundtrack, we're going to get to it in a second, but, like, seeing Brandy and Whitney in this film, like, I cannot say how much it meant to me growing up.
Yeah.
Like, to see a black Cinderella. Like, I didn't need any other Cinderella, you know? And so, anyways, what are, like, your standout tracks on this?
Okay, so, of course, Falling in Love with Love.
Yes.
Impossible / It's Possible.
Yeah, which Brittany. Wow, I just put their two names together. Whitney went off on that.
Yes. Like, I mean, like, if you have not seen this Cinderella, which that's crazy, but if you haven't seen it, at least go listen to Impossible, It's Possible, whatever, because Whitney and Brandy did that. Like,
you know, the list of things they did. Have you seen the video of, like, Whitney, like, in the studio with Brandy and, like, coaching her on how to hit that note in Impossible.
Yes.
I can't do it.
Come on, vocals. But yes,
Nippy just, like, came through.
She's like, you're here, you need to be here. Like, it was, I know that was a surreal moment for Brandy, because we all know how much Brandy loved, you know, Whitney or whatever. And I mean, just to be in a movie with your favorite singer, celebrity, whatever, is one thing, but to be, like, co-starring with her, and she, you know, actually becomes, like, your, you know, fairy mentor. Godmother or whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah,
and
mentor, real fairy godmother, yeah.
And you're, you know, able to sing with her, and Brandy was so young. Like, this is the 90s when Brandy was, like, in her late teens, early 20s. Mm-hmm. So she's so young, and she's able to do these things with Whitney Houston, and I felt like she really held her own.
Oh, absolutely.
When it came to, you know, just being able to sing alongside of Whitney Houston, especially with Impossible. And, I mean, the song is just great, you know, great motivation.
It's so good. And honestly, you feel how magical Whitney was.
Yes.
You know, like, I just think that movie, like, the arrangement of the song, like, with her particular vocals, I think was beautiful. Like, I don't need to hear anyone else sing that song besides them two. You know,
definitely
the costume
not.
Was just gorgeous. Like, I really believed that Whitney was my fairy godmother. You know, like, you couldn't tell me anything else. And I still do. Like, I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, Impossible was absolutely amazing. I think, also, I think a song that, like, doesn't get as much credit as it deserves is In My Own Little Corner.
Listen, we love it.
Yeah, which is a song that Brandy sings towards the beginning of the movie. And basically, you know, like, I didn't have as depressing of a life as Cinderella, but, like, I was kind of shy and, like, whatever. And so, like, this song just, I felt it. Like, it was a song that was just kind of, like, yearning for, like, you want to be bigger and you want to do big things and you want to, like, jump out of your skin that can kind of feel so limiting, or, like, your surroundings that can feel limiting.
But you stay in your own little corner in your own little chair.
Yes. And it's like that was, like, my life story for so long. And so, and sometimes, like, you do have to, like, remind yourself to, like, get out of your own little corner. And so, like, that song, I just think it's, like, so heartbreaking. Like, when you are, like, watching her have this big moment, and then she just is reminded about where she is and what her life is, and then Whitney just comes, pops in, and, like, you know, completely changes her life.
All
and
roll the fiddly do,
so good, so good. And I mean, some of the other songs as well, like, you know, the songs that the prince sings, like, Do I
Love
the
Sweetest
Sounds?
Oh my god, yes,
like, are you the sweetest of a lover's dream? Or are you just... Yeah, like, it's just so good. And again, like, this is an old, old, old soundtrack. Like, you know, that they, Rodgers and Hammerstein or whatever,
honestly,
composed,
like, I could say...
Like,
ahead,
yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, composed forever ago. And so it just was so great to see, like, at that time, what was, like, a new take on these songs, and, like, with, you know, all people of like, not all people of color, but, like,
mostly
several people of color in this. Whoopi Goldberg played the prince's mom.
Yes. And you know what, though, like, you know, I love this movie because, like, okay, the royal family, right? The dad is white, Whoopi Goldberg is black, and they have an Asian son.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I never questioned it growing up.
Right,
you know, like
it's
I
just
never
great.
Questioned it. And, you know, it just, it was such an important film on all fronts. Yeah. And I think the soundtrack was just so great. And what's unfortunate is I don't know that the standalone soundtrack exists anywhere. Like, for this
it
film
doesn't.
In particular. Like, I think when you go on YouTube and try to listen to it, you're listening to, like, someone who dubbed the film.
Yep.
And they just recorded the film's audio and they posted it on there. But, like, if you go on Spotify or Apple Music, you can't find the actual soundtrack. Which, like... It, right now, that pisses me off, but at least I can still listen to it somewhere. But I can just imagine, like, if I had been a little older and, like, a little more cognizant and, like, wasn't having the movie on repeat, like, I wish I would have been, like, pissed that I couldn't buy that on CD anywhere. And it's crazy to me that they didn't make that available.
Yeah, it's crazy because, I mean, it's just so good. I mean, like, honestly, you asked for standout songs, and I could, like, I'm reading the track list right now, and it's like, okay, The Sweetest Sounds, love it.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Prince's... I mean, honestly, even The Prince's Giving a Ball. I saw you. And you murdered her. How do you do... Like, that is just so good. Like, the melody of that song, I love. I don't know. It's just so good. And, like,
this is actually... This year is actually the 20th anniversary. I'm, like, looking now. And
oh, it is. 1997.
Yeah, I would just love it if they, released... Not even re-released. If they just released the soundtrack somewhere.
Yeah, so take it out of the Disney vault or whatever, wherever the hell it is.
Oh my God, speaking of the Disney vault, remember when they used to fucking threaten us? Like, this is going in the vault and you can never see it again.
That's how I got my Lion King DVD. My mom, it was for one of my birthdays. It happened to fall around one of my birthdays. My mom was like, I used to see the commercials like, Lion King is going into the Disney vault for the next, I don't know, 50 years or whatever. And it's like, and I was like, Mom, she asked me what I wanted for my birthday. And I'm like, Mom, I know my birthday is in like a month, so it's kind of early, but I want the Lion King DVD because it was like, you know, it's during the switch of VHS from VHS to DVD. And I'm like, listen, we have a DVD player now. I have to get this, and I still have that same like copy. It's in my room right now. But like,
well, they did what they, I guess they
listen
in there.
Yeah, they got that money. They got that money, and look, you can go to Walmart right now and find it on the show. But yeah, I mean, so good. They need to like. I would really love to listen to this in full in like, you know, HQ, like really
That's
high quality.
That's what's
whatever.
Important to me is just having it in like in HQ. Yeah. You know, because that especially now that, like, Whitney's gone, it's not like they can all get back together and, like, you know, and also, like, vocals change. And so you just never know how it's going to sound 20 years, like, a whole 20 years later, you know.
It's
and
crazy,
so it's just insane
years.
To me, like, you know, I hope it exists somewhere and they can, you know, give it to us one day and put it on all the streaming services.
I'm going to start a petition.
Please.
So everybody that's listening, I'm going to put a petition in the link and I mean in the description box, and all y'all need to sign it. Listen,
yeah,
we need it. But yeah, so did you have any honorable mentions?
I have like a million honorable mentions. I mean,
okay, we can just go through them honestly, like we just won't go too far into it.
So it's a lot of like Disney movies now that I'm thinking of it, like okay, Tarzan was like all Phil Collins. But, like, Usher remade one of those songs for, like, the Disney, you know, whatever.
I love those
like,
albums,
the re-releases
by the way.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, my God. Like, the Tarzan soundtrack was so, so great. Especially the part where, like, the monkeys are tearing the shit up, but they're actually playing percussion instruments.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of my favorite scenes of any movie. I just think the use of those sounds were really great. But, yeah, I'm trying to think. Do you have any honorable mentions?
I have two that I wrote down. Another Disney movie, Hercules. The Muses.
Oh,
I mean,
God, the Muses.
Tore my adolescent wig to shreds.
When we're talking about iconic girl groups, the Muses better be on your list.
They need to be mentioned.
They paved the way.
Yes, indeed. Like, I mean, that's iconic by itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. Hercules, yeah, definitely one of the best soundtracks because of the Muses. And the second one, second honorable mention, if you know me, you know I love this soundtrack so much. The Preacher's Wife,
oh,
Whitney
yeah.
Houston again. Like,
I'm so
honestly,
surprised you didn't mention that in your top three.
you know, and it was
but something
only because Waiting to Exhale was there. But yeah, The Preacher's Wife, if, like I said, if you know me, I mean, honestly, you don't even need to know me that much. You know mm-hmm. that, I mean, that well.
I mean, you've
you
mentioned it in the Christmas episode that we did.
Yes, I love this album. And I mean, it's mostly gospel. And so if you don't like gospel music, I guess you wouldn't want to go listen to it. But I mean, it's some of the best singing I've heard from Whitney Houston, like ever. Mm-hmm. on this album, and because I love her so much, and I really like the movie as well with Denzel Washington, and I wish I could remember Angela Bassett's husband's name right now, but
Courtney B. Vance.
Yeah, I think that's him, Courtney B. Vance in that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's such a good movie, and you get I Believe in You and Me from that one. Oh my so God. I mean, that song alone,
Whitney
would
Houston
let you know.
Just was really the queen of soundtracks, the queen of yes. acting, queen of singing. Yes. Like, that's what I mean, got from this episode.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think about the fact that, like, Waiting to Exhale, oh, I didn't even mention it. She had, like, Shoop on there. What
oh
is
my
it?
God. Shoop.
That's, Shoop. Yes, Shoop. That's on Waiting to Exhale. Mm-hmm. Literally queen of soundtrack. She made so much money. I think The Preacher's Wife is one of the highest selling gospel albums of all time.
I
still.
Believe it. I absolutely believe it.
I remember
it.
Seeing that a little while ago. But yeah, it's one of the highest selling gospel albums of all time. So,
she
I mean,
really, like,
listen.
Freaking killed it. I really yeah. miss her.
I mean, I can't even get into The Bodyguard right now because that's
oh
another
my
one.
God,
I have that on DVD as well. I mean, like, it's 5 feet away from me. I can go in my closet and look.
I feel like it's always on nowadays, thank God.
Yeah,
I don't know what channel it is, but it's always showing it.
Yeah, so that was the episode.
That was the episode, and that was really fun.
I hope you guys go watch these movies if you yeah. haven't seen any of them.
I'm sure re-watch. Like a bunch of you guys may be on spring break, or you're about to get into yeah. summer break, or if you are like a working adult, you know, you probably are going on vacation soon. Take yeah. some time, binge watch these movies, just like let yourself marinate in these soundtracks.
Yes, because it's
and
so
just,
good.
Just like take it all in, because this
you
is.
Know, I feel like soundtracks aren't really like. So people used to be put on from soundtracks, like artists and stuff, like mm-hmm. people would be put on from that. And I mean, they'd get not like massive careers, but like career moves. But I mean, it would be such a huge boost. I mean, nowadays I feel like I don't even really pay attention to soundtracks beyond like when I hear it in the movie theater.
Right.
So
like Fast 8 just recently made like a really big deal out of their soundtrack. They have like Kehlani, I think like two songs by Camila. Uh-huh. Like a bunch of other people that I just are not coming to my head right now, but mm-hmm. that was like the first time in a long time that I saw a film like really trying to push a soundtrack. Like they yeah. dropped this, you know, the track listing and all that stuff, but mm-hmm. they're almost like using that as like a tool to promote it, which I found really interesting. But yeah, overall, like I don't really see myself like actually checking for movie soundtracks lately, which
yeah,
I don't know what that's about. I don't know what that's about.
So, guys, we don't have any flops or faves this week, but just a little note to take care of yourself.
Yes.
And love also yourself. Rate us on iTunes.
And rate us on iTunes.
Because that's good for your health as
it's
well.
It's very good for your health. And it so. Proves you love yourself. And we love
yes.
you, so.
Yeah, so
yeah,
that was the episode.
Thank you for listening. Special shout out to our podcast DJ, Dion. She produces the music that you hear in the beginning and end of every episode. You can follow her on Twitter and SoundCloud and wherever else at Your Girl DJ Magic. And you can find her handles all in our description box.
And you can follow the show on Twitter at The Fan Podcast. And you can follow our personal Twitters. Our names will be in the description box.
Mm-hmm.
Boxed.
Box. Yeah, I mean, boxed. It is boxed, technically. Boxed, whatever. But y'all know
but
where
yeah.
to find it. We trust you.
Yeah. So, yeah, go follow us and stuff. Talk yeah. to us, please. So
cool.
Thanks.
Have a good week,
bye.
Y'all.
Bye.